How many of you have been in a situation where someone treated you like they didn't need you and maybe even said that? Until they did need you. And then all of a sudden, it changed. And that's what we find in Judges chapter 11. It says in verse 1, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor." I mean, he was a man. He was the Chuck Norris of his day, or the John Wayne of his day. You know, when he walked in the room, people noticed. When he walked down the street, people looked. I mean, he was a man. And he had strength. He was brave, and he was confident, and he was courageous. That's the indication here. You know, people didn't mess with him. You didn't want to get on his bad side. Not that he was a bad person, but just that, you know, he took care of business. That's what he did. And he was a man of integrity. He was a son of a harlot. Now, could he do anything about that? Couldn't do that. And by the way, that's his mama, right? I mean, would you... It sounds like not the kind of guy you want to say that to, right? He's a strong guy, big guy. You know, you don't want to talk about his mama. But he was also the son of Gilead. Verse 2, Gilead's wife bare him sons. Okay, not the same woman, right? He's got a woman, a son with a harlot. Now he's got a wife, and now he's got sons. And it says they thrust out Jephthah and said to him, "Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." It wasn't, you know, they didn't say that she was a harlot. They probably would have gotten punched in the face. But they said, "She's not of us. She's not a Gileadite. She's not one of us." And so she's a stranger. She's a foreigner. And so you are not a true heir as we are. You know, we all have the same mom and dad. But, you know, he was no less a son of Gilead. He nor anyone can change where we came from, can we? All right, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It was asked. Now, I know that God ordained and planned all that, but really, could a child, can he help where he's from? Can he help who his mama is or who his father is? That's the thing about prejudice and racism. None of us have any control in that, do we? Have any control of where we came from? We were born, and that's just who we are. But all we can control is what we've done since we were born, what we've done since we came from there, what we have done with the life that we've been given. And for everyone, that's different. It's amazing to see children who not only are born in the same community, but with the same parents, and they come out different. They're different. In fact, most people will say if you have more than one of those is different. One of those is just strange, maybe you'd say. We're in Judges chapter 11. And so that's the case in every family, that there's going to be one that's a little odd, a little different. And by the way, we're not those, right? Those are our brothers or our sisters. But anyway, they want him out because they say, "Your mama's not our mama. We don't have the same parents. You have no inheritance here." And so what did Jephthah do? You know, the Bible doesn't say Jephthah protested. It doesn't say he gave any kind of resistance. It says in verse 3, Jephthah fled, right? Verse 3, he fled from his brethren. He just left. You know, isn't that great when somebody, and I've told you that, my sense has always, or at least has been in recent years, far back as I can remember, I don't want to be anywhere I'm not wanted. You don't want me here, I'll go somewhere else, right? That's why I tell people that. I'm not going to hunger for their attention. I have friends, I love you because I love you. If you don't want me around, you just, all you got to do is say go, and I'll go. I don't have to be your friend if you don't want me to be. I've got a friend, and he met a, there was another young lady in the church, and she said to him, "Hey, let's exchange contact information, phone numbers. And he said, why? She said, well, just to be friends. And he looked at her. He said, I got enough friends. Now, that's probably not the most polite thing you could say, but it got his point across. And so here, Jephthah didn't protest. He didn't beg to stay. He didn't say, well, guys, just let me stay and I'll be cut out of the inheritance, but I don't want to go. I got nowhere to go. No, he didn't do that. He didn't whine. He said, see ya. And he left. Verse 3. He dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah. And they went out with him. Here's the thing that they overlooked. And we could come up with all different ideas. We read what the Bible tells us. But we might say, well, those brothers were just jealous of Jephthah, because he was a man and they were intimidated by him. Maybe they had an inferiority complex and they were insecure, and as long as Jephthah was around, they couldn't get any attention, or everybody looked to him, and so they wanted him out of the picture so then they could feel important. Maybe, doesn't say. But we know this about Jephthah. He left and started over in a foreign land, and people were attracted to him. He was like a magnet to people. Now, it says they were vain men. What does that mean? It means nobody wanted them. There's somebody else in the Bible that we see the same thing happen to. Who was that, you recall? Who? King David. King David. Right? He left, and it says there were 400 men that gathered themselves to him in Ziklag. Right? Vain men, the Bible says. They weren't, you know, the top notch of society. Nobody wanted them. But they were drawn to and they gathered themselves to Jephthah. Why? He had a leadership quality. And they needed a leader. Some young men will come to me sometimes and they'll say, well, I don't know if I will ever pastor. Look, if you have the right heart to serve people, there is a church somewhere. If you're surrendered to God and God's called you to ministry, there's a church somewhere that can use you. You don't have to, you might not get the big church uptown, that's fine. You might not be able to pastor the church you grew up in, that's fine. But if you will surrender yourself to God, there's a church somewhere that's looking for a leader that will follow and that you can serve. And so Jephthah goes to Tob, and people just start gathering to him because he had a leadership quality. Now, we don't have to read all of it, but let's just read a couple of verses, verses 4 through 10. We just get the idea. It came to pass in the process of time. So there's some time that's gone by, and the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. How about that? We don't need you. We don't want you. You're not one of us. Until they needed him. And all of a sudden, come home. Come home. And he reminds them in verse number 7, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? Why are you come to me now when you're in distress? Here's the thing. Think about this. There's not anybody in Israel that the elders have confidence in to be the captain over them. They look around. Here are his brothers. None of them. They look all across and they're looking among the elders and among the men that are capable of war. And they say, there's nobody here. There's nobody here with the ability to develop the strategy to carry out what needs to be done. And so we got to go get Jephthah. And they went and they got him. And you know what? He delivered them by God's favor. God, he went and he prayed. He went to God and he said, God, they want me to do this. And if you were with me, I'll go. And God gave him the victory. By the way, it wasn't just one group. He had to go group after group after group. He had to keep beating more and more. And all of that's recorded there in chapter 11. And then in chapter 12, we find something else happened. The men of Ephraim gathered themselves together. This is another tribe. And they went northward and said to Jephthah, "Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee?" You didn't ask us to help. Now, understand why they're complaining. Because this is about a land grab. This is about territory. This is about the spoils of battle. It's not just about you beat them and they went home. No, now you've conquered them. And Ephraim is saying, we could have expanded our ownership, our land, if we would have gone with them. We would have had some negotiation in the treaty and the division of property. That's what it's greed. Always follow the money. And so Ephraim's mad. And look at what they said in verse number 1, the last part there. "We will burn thine house upon thee with fire." We're going to kill you, burn your house down with you in it. Vicious. Why? Jealousy. You didn't make us feel important. Well, like those brothers. You didn't come and call on us. We would have gone. But then he turns the table on him in verse number 3. He says, verse number 2, Jephthah said to them, "I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hand." He said, look, I've called on you and you didn't answer. You are the one that's unreliable. It wasn't about me not asking you to go. I know you won't do anything because I've called on you in the past and you wouldn't help. And here's the key right here in verse number 3. "And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands." Wow. That's quite a statement, isn't it? I put my life in my hands. You know, I can't save anybody. The only way you are going to get saved is if you take it in your own hands and you pray from your heart to God and say, "God, forgive me of my sins. I trust you as my Savior and ask you to save my soul." You have to do that. If I could save people, I'd just pray. I'd never stop. I'd just go around praying everybody be saved. But it doesn't work that way. And when it comes to baptism, I can't baptize you. You have to surrender to baptism. You see, it's a decision you must make. I can't just come to you and say, "Hey, you need to get baptized." That doesn't work. You might get a few wet, but I mean, it's got to be your own decision. When it comes to life, we cannot wait. If we haven't figured out by now, we've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to stand up for ourselves and take care of ourselves. And, you know, no matter who it is that gives us counsel, we've got to be the ones to make the decision. Ultimately, it's on us. And Jephthah, when faced with, "Why didn't you call and ask our help?" He said, "Look, you didn't help me last time. And this time, I just took my own responsibility. Took responsibility for myself. And I did what I had to do. This we must do. You must do it. I must do it. As a church, we must do it." I recall I pastored the former church. I came in. There was a debt on the mortgage on the property. Not a significant one. And they said, "Let's call on the other churches to help us pay it off." And I said, "They don't go to church here. We do. This is our debt. This is our responsibility." And you know, it wasn't long, 90 days maybe, it was paid. They hadn't paid on it in years. I'm not criticizing them, but it was the mentality. It was the mindset that somebody else will do it. Let me tell you something. If people are going to get saved, we've got to help them. We've got to lead them. We've got to show them. We've got to evangelize. We're counting on the missionaries to do it, or the preacher to do it, or somebody else to do it. It's not going to get done. I've got to do it, and you've got to do it. We've all got to do it. I've got to take responsibility. You've got to take responsibility. I've got to know what God's calling is in my life, and I've got to put my life in my hands. I would love to think that there's some magic pill out there that's going to make us all healthy. And so far, they hadn't come up with it. And so whose responsibility is it? I've got to put my life in my hands. And we're not to the point yet where we can just lay our Bible on the table and gain the information. If I'm going to know what's in it, I've got to read it. And then when it comes to talking to God, I've got to talk to God. I could call you and say, hey, pray for me, but I need to talk to God. I learned a long time ago I can beg God on people's behalf, and I do. I do it all the time. But God knows their hearts, and that's what ultimately counts. Because I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've tried to help people, and I didn't end up helping them. And you know God knew that ahead of time. Try all I want to help. But unless there's a purpose, unless there's a benefit in it, it's not going to help them. I was talking to someone yesterday about a certain situation. And he said, Brother Derek, you know what the Lord told me? The Lord told me, keep my nose out of it. Just let him take care of it. And by the way, God's told me that before too. Keep my nose out of it. And he was talking about a medical situation, but you know, in the end, we've got to talk to God. See, what's my part in it? And I'll say that many times in my prayer. What is my part? I want all the military to know Jesus. What is my part? I want all the first responders to know Jesus. What is my part? I want all the less fortunate to be blessed. But what is my part? You know, what can I do to help all these people? I want people to get saved, but what is my part? I want all the missionaries to have all the funds they need to do all the work that is ahead of them, but what is my part? Because I can't do everything. You can't do everything. We can't do everything. There's got to be a calling of God. But whatever that calling is, when we understand that purpose and that mission and that function, I've got to put my life in my hands. I've got to do it. And that's what Jephthah said. Jephthah said, I was going into battle. I wasn't thinking about how I could get away with somebody else sharing the load. I was thinking about getting the job done. And so that's what I did. I can't control the outcome. But I must invest the effort. You know, that's the part. Talking to someone yesterday, and they said, well, you did your part. It's all I can do. Once I put the ball in your court, it's up to you what you do with it. But I've got to put in the effort. I've got to engage. That's what Jephthah was saying. Jephthah was saying, I saw the mission before me, and I couldn't think about what anybody else might contribute. I had to contribute what I could. That's what mattered. And I hope as we finish this year, we'll finish strong. Taking into consideration what Jephthah's brothers did, they pushed away somebody they needed. They didn't need them right then, but they would need them later. You've got to be careful about pushing people away because we might need them later. And they might need us now. Lord, would you stand? God, as we look to the end of this year, we're thankful for the blessings of the year. And yes, there were heartaches, and they still persist. But we pray that you will guide us through the end of this one into the next one. And we pray that you would give us great courage and great vision for what lies ahead. Anoint us with your power. Fill us with your spirit. And help each of us to say, I will put my life in my hands. I'll do my part. I'll take responsibility for what God wants me to do. Dismiss us with your grace. Bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.